The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples this parable. It was about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that same town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Some time ago, an American journalist was assigned to Jerusalem to cover some stories there. She found a room that overlooked the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, where Jewish people come to pray. In the morning, she liked to look out on the wall, and she began to notice that there was an elderly man who would come every day at the same time of the day, approximately, and pray there for quite a while. So she decided to interview him. One day, after he finished prayer, she said to him, "Sir, I see that you come here every day to pray." "Yes," he said. "I've been doing this for 25 years. 25 years, she said. "My, and what do you pray for?" "I pray for world peace," he said, "especially for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I pray for those who suffer from terrorism and bombings, from hurricanes and earthquakes and floods and fires. I pray for an end to world hunger. I pray for my family and for my relatives and my friends and even for my enemies." "Well," she said, "that's marvelous. And tell me, what's it like to pray for all these things for 25 years? And he said, "It's like talking to a wall." Maybe sometimes that's the way we feel. When we pray over and over again, we pray with all the faith that we can muster. And instead of, like Jesus says, "Justice will be done speedily," God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. It's like talking to a wall. And yet, it's instinctive for us to say, "Pray for me," if we need prayers for something, or to promise others, "I'll pray for you if they get sick or near death," or whatever instance it may be. It's almost natural to say, "We'll pray for people." Maybe one of the problems is that we've got to get rid of some outdated notions about prayer. And you heard one of them in the first reading today. In that reading about the chosen people having a battle with Amalek, it seems that when Moses went up on the hill, God would listen to his prayers whenever his hands were raised. And then God would look, and when the hands are drooping, he said, "Oh, Moses' hands are down. Let Amalek win. Hope they're up again. Beat them in battle." That's not the way God works. This is really a story about being persevering in prayer, not giving up on prayer. But sometimes I think we have our own versions of "keep them up, Moses." I mean, it's as if God only answers our prayers if we do something or promise something, or we say certain prayers a number of times or send them to a number of people, or promise to change our lives if God answers our prayers. The gospel might give us another misrepresentation or wrong impression that God doesn't answer our prayers until we bother him so much he says, okay, stop it, I'll give him whatever he or she wants. Well, that's not the way prayer works either. Remember, Jesus introduced that story by saying this was a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. That's the point of these stories today, that we should continue to pray with faith. Don't get weary. Keep praying over and over and over again, trusting that God will hear and answer time. Speedily means in God's own time. Rather than say much more about prayer, today I'd like to say more, draw your attention or remind you of one prayer that we might take for granted, that we might not take advantage of, and that's the Eucharist, the Mass that we come every week here to pray and celebrate, like today, like right here, like right now. Do we realize how powerful a prayer it is and how it can be the best prayer that we can offer all week? The Eucharist has it all. Do you remember from your religion classes that there are four kinds of prayers? Prayers of petition, when we ask God for things. Prayers of thanksgiving, when we thank God for things. Prayers of praise, when we just glorify God for who God is. And prayers of repentance, when we tell God how sorry we are. The Eucharist has all four. Besides that, when we come together in the Eucharist, we pray together. So it's a prayer that's stronger than we pray if we pray alone. Remember, that's what Jesus promised. If there are two or three gathered together in my name, he said, there I am in the midst of you. To put it theologically, we pray the Eucharist with Jesus Christ, who comes to be our sacrifice and our nourishment. In fact, Jesus Christ becomes our prayer in the Eucharist. So it's much more powerful when we ally our prayers with him, pray in and with and through Jesus. And finally, we often sing our prayers here. And as St. Augustine once said, when you sing, you pray twice as well. That's why I sang the opening prayer today, even though it may not have been twice as well. If you just spend this 1 hour every Sunday sincerely and deeply uniting your personal prayer with Jesus Christ and the rest of us in this Eucharist, your prayer life can be so much better and more effective. But we have to learn to switch moods as we pray. How many times do we say every Sunday, "Let us pray"? Or other forms like, "Lift up your hearts," or, "Lord, hear our prayer." There are three main short prayers in every Mass. The first occurs right after the penance service, the second after the presentation of the gifts and the collection, and the last one right after communion. These are special prayers. They're prayers of petition, and they're designed each week or each feast day for that particular day. These are prayers in a petition along with the general intercessions or prayers of the faithful, what we say after the creed, and of course, the Our Father is a prayer of petition, as well as that beautiful, intimate prayer that we say asking for peace just before communion. But we switch to many kinds of moods of prayer, like the second kind of praise, too, like the Gloria that we sing, or the Holy, Holy, which is another song of praise. These are usually sung, doubling their value. We also have prayers of the third kind, repentance, especially at the beginning of Mass, that penance rite, as we call it, to kind of purify us to celebrate the Eucharist. But the greatest part of the Mass is devoted to the fourth kind of prayer, thanksgiving. Especially in the Eucharistic prayer. That's what we call that part of the Mass from the Holy Holy until the Our Father. The Eucharistic prayer, because the word Eucharist means to give thanks. In the Eucharistic prayer, we can't stop thanking God for Jesus Christ, for sending us his Son, who revealed to us the truth of his goodness and his mercy, and offered his own life in devotion to the Father and for the truth that he stood for, he believed. And he told us to do this ritual in memory of him. So we too then could be devoted to the Father to try to do God's will in our own lives. We load our prayers on Jesus in the Mass, in the Eucharist, and send them back to the Father. And besides all that, there are some periods of silence after the readings, especially after communion, so we can spend some time in personal prayer. If you do, the Eucharist can be the best prayer that you ever say. That's the way it is for me. I believe that. The Eucharist is the best prayer that I can ever and you can ever say, because we know God always listens to this prayer, because it's with Jesus and through Jesus and with Jesus Christ. When people ask sometimes, why should I go to Mass? The answer is to pray. To pray like you never could pray alone. 1 hour a week in relative quiet and peace and safety with each other and with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Even if we pray distracted by some of the children we bring to acquaint them with our community or by other things, we are still so fortunate. It's really not like talking to a wall. And you don't have to have someone keep raising your hands up to God, because Jesus does that for us. So let us pray.